Okay, everybody, sorry for the delay. We're going to start right now. I have to apologize to all of you for being in Maya. And our internet connection is not very strong, but we're going to try our best. So, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Govijana Malabha Kiri Varadhaudi, Govijana Malaba Giribaradhi Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Malabha Giribada Dhaudi, Gopi Jana Balaba Giribada Dhaudi Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Kijana Malabha Giribada Dhaudi Jana Balaba Giribada Dhaudi Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Okay, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvatakacharya Also Teta Siddhashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chatanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindika Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopna Shyam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturanam Ki Jai Jagadatha Swami Ki Jai Yuvanamai Ki Jai Shrimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindika Jai Gaur Prevananda Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pristaya Budhle. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamati Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharni Nivashesha Shinduvati Paschacha Dejatarni. So we are in the middle of Florida right now, and we're going to be heading back and stopping somewhere for the night. And no one's in the car. It's a self-driving car, so I'm just sitting in the passenger seat, and it's driving itself. Pretty good, isn't it? This is actually the modern technology. Amazing. Just, I'll show you what happens. See, it's driving itself. There's no driver, nobody in the car. And I just tell it where to go. I just say, please go here, please go there. It's nice. Actually, it's a really good sannyasi car. Anyway, so, whoops. With that in mind, we're going to continue with our class. Om Ganativadanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So we are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, 9th chapter. Try to get the computer stable so you all don't see me bouncing around. 9th chapter of the Majjhalila, around text 94 in the 9th chapter. So, let's start. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is basically in Sri Rangam right now. Well, let me describe what Sri Rangam is. Okay. Sri Rangam is basically the temple of Sri Ramanujacharya and all the other great Vaishnavas in South India, following the Sri Sampradaya, the Lakshmi Sampradaya, and Yamunacharya was the previous Acharya, and Ramanujacharya. And to this day, they actually have Sripad Ramanujacharya's transcendental body preserved in the Sri Rangam temple. And you can see the body. The body, of course, is wrapped in some substances which preserve the body, but you can see Ramanujacharya's body in this place. It's an amazing place. Amazing place. So, let's continue. Sei Shetre Raheka Vaishnava Brahmana Devalaya Asikare Gita Avartana. In the holy place of Sri Ranga Kshetra, a Brahmana Vaishnava used to visit the temple daily and recite the entire text of the Bhagavad Gita. And this is going to be a very important verse that teaches us that faith is the most important ingredient. Not simply that one has some big brain to impress others. So, Ashtadasadhyaya Pade Ananda Aveshe Ashuda Padena Lokakare Upahase. The Brahmana regularly read the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, so we just should stay here, basically, in great transcendental ecstasy. But because he could not pronounce the words correctly, people used to joke about him. This shows how cruel people are. Someone is trying to perform spiritual life, and they tease them for apparent problems or apparent challenges. Sometimes people are very, very cruel. If someone has some disability, or as we say now, challenge, they get teased by other people. It's a very cruel world. And this devotee who was trying to read the Bhagavad Gita was actually a pure devotee of the Lord. And so all these people were committing mad elephant offenses. Keaha se keaninde tahanahimane avishtahana gita pare Anandi Tamane. Due to his incorrect pronunciation, people sometimes criticized him and laughed at him, but he did not care. He was full of ecstasy due to reading the Bhagavad Gita and was personally very, very happy. Pulakashru Kampasveda Yavat Patana Deki Anandita Hoila Mahaprabhura Mana. While reading the book, the Brahmana experienced transcendental bodily transformations. The hairs on his body stood on end, tears welled up in his eyes, and his body trembled and perspired as he read. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. And Prabhupada explains, although the Brahmana could not pronounce the words very well due to illiteracy, he still experienced ecstatic symptoms while reading the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to observe these symptoms, and this indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased by devotion, not by erudite scholarship. You hear that? Even though the words were imperfectly pronounced, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna himself, did not think this very serious. Rather, the Lord was pleased by the bhava, devotion. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11, this is confirmed. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddavachapi namananantasya yasho nikitani yat shinvanti guyanti grinanti sadavaha. On the other hand, that literature, which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. The purport to this verse may be considered for further information on this subject. In other words, the purport that Prabhupada gave to this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada was specifically quoting this verse in relationship to himself. Now, what does that mean in relationship to himself? This means that Prabhupada considered that his English had so many apparent defects to it. Actually, no defects, because anything Prabhupada did was pure. But apparent from an English scholar's linguistic expert's point of view. Because what Prabhupada had to do, the proofreading, the editing, supervising the typesetting, the printing, the purchasing of the paper, the binding of the book, and finally the shipping of the books, and finally the distribution of the books of his original three Bhagavatams. So Prabhupada didn't have another editor. The only thing that Prabhupada didn't do was operate the printing machine. One thing I forgot that Prabhupada did was he had to collect the money for the books in the beginning. So imagine book production where you have to collect the money for the book. Oh, no, not, I forgot to mention. Prabhupada translated the books, wrote the books, commented on the verses, got money for the printing, arranged for the artwork. Prabhupada didn't do the artwork. Arranged for the artwork, designed the book, and all those things Prabhupada did by himself. So Prabhupada was considering, because he wasn't, let's say, completely expert in English in every way, so Prabhupada was considering there's so many faults in the English. So he quoted this verse quite often, stating that because the purity was there, even though the words, according to English standards of our favorite English teacher, who we cannot mention in class, was not done properly, still they would have an effect in doing what? Creating a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. And also, oftentimes I quote this verse to indicate Prabhupada's mission. Prabhupada's mission, I mean, we're talking about mission, not just what Prabhupada did to accomplish his mission, but the ultimate goal of Prabhupada's mission. It's very important to distinguish between the goal and the details in executing that goal. So the goal was to create a revolution in society. That's the whole purpose of everything. It's the purpose of building temples. It's the purpose of installing deities. That's the purpose of initiating disciples. That's the purpose of whatever. The Harinam parties. The purpose of taking the devotees on pilgrimage all over India or in Vrindavan, Mayapur. Building pilgrimage places. The purpose of printing, distributing books. The purpose of all those things is to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of civilization, and pious civilization. Because Prabhupada wanted to change the world. Therefore, he's called Jagat Guru. That means universe guru. Guru of the universe. And Prabhupada did this. Last night, we were hearing someone else's appreciation for Prabhupada, who wasn't part of our movement. A nice lady. And she was saying that Prabhupada is basically an unsung hero because even though he may not be so well known all around the world, of course his fame is spread all over the three worlds, as we hear the guru prayers, still his very presence and activities and preaching created the good fortune of this world and inevitably will lead to a change in this impious civilization. How it will happen, that's up to Krishna. But Prabhupada planted the seed in this impious civilization, and that seed, in the form of his books, in the form of his teachings, in the form of his disciples, in the forms of the centers, that seed will fructify eventually, and the whole world will change in many ways. So it just takes some time. When I was a young devotee, we thought, as the case may be, we thought that we'd actually have a spiritual revolution in the world within the next 10 years before I was 40. But guess what, gang? I'm now 72, and the spiritual revolution is still a little bit in the future. But still, it's happening. You can see the seeds being planted all over the place. And so that's really what our business is. It's like if you plant a tree or plant a seed for a tree, you don't expect the tree to be giving fruits immediately. But your business is simply to plant the seeds. Just like in New Goloka, we're putting some new trees in the ground. Now, obviously, eventually, those trees will grow to 40, 50 foot height. You know, big trees. I like those big trees. But will I be around to see that 40 or 50 foot tree? Or 60 foot tree? Well, maybe in the next life, if I happen to take birth as a cat, New Goloka or something like that, I may be around to see it. Or whatever. But, you know, so we have to be patient. Our service is simply, we have a right to our service, but not a right to the results. And we don't get discouraged if the results are not there, because it's all in Krishna's hands. And Krishna will make that prediction. But we try our best. We use our intelligence. We adapt different things. Anyway, let's go on with this particular verse, or this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu puchila tanre shuna mahasaya konartha jani tamara eta sukha hoya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmin, "My dear sir, why are you in such ecstatic love? What portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you such transcendental pleasure?" Viprakahe murkahami shabdartha najani shuda shuda gita pare guru agya manhi. The Brahmana replied, I am illiterate, and therefore do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I read the Bhagavad Gita correctly, and sometimes incorrectly. But in any case, I am doing this, here's the key, in compliance with the orders of my spiritual master, Guru Maharaj. This is a good example of a person who had become so successful that he was able to capture the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even while reading the Bhagavad Gita incorrectly. His spiritual activities did not depend on material things such as correct pronunciation. Rather, his success depended on strictly following the instructions of his spiritual master, Yasya Devi Pura Bhaktir, Yata Devi Tata Goro, Tashaite Katita Yarita Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Ashvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Actually, the meaning of the words of the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam is revealed to one who strictly follows the orders of the spiritual master and has equal faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, being faithful to both Krishna and the spiritual master is the secret of success in spiritual life. And that's amazing. Of course, I've stated it many, many times before, but we think other things are the secret of success. Our austerities are the secret of success. How little we can eat on different days are the secret of success. How many yoga postures we could do is the secret of success. Whatever. So, in other words, being faithful to both Krishna and the spiritual master is the secret of success in spiritual life. And, you know, I personally have found that to be true. Of course, I have not been successful, I'm not saying that. But I do have firm faith in Srila Prabhupada. Ajunera rate Krishna haya raju dada vashiyache hate tatra shamala sundara. The Brahmana continued, actually, I see Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer, excuse me, taking the reins in his hands. He appears very beautiful and blackish. Arjuna re kahite chena hitopadesha tanre deki hayamora ananda havesha. While seeing Lord Krishna sitting in a chariot and instructing Arjuna, I am filled with ecstatic happiness. Imagine that. How many of us feel that? Of course, he's seeing directly Krishna sitting on a chariot instructing Arjuna. But let's say we see a picture. How ecstatic do we feel when we chant the holy name? How ecstatic do we feel when we eat prasadam? How ecstatic do we feel? Yavat podan tavat pana tanra darashana elagi gita pata lachade mora mana. As long as I read the Bhagavad Gita, I simply see the Lord's beautiful features. It is for this reason that I am reading the Bhagavad Gita, and my mind cannot be distracted from this. Prabhu kahi Gita pate tumara hi adhikara tumi se janaha he gitara artha sara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Brahman, indeed you are an authority in the reading of the Bhagavad Gita. Not only the knower, but an authority. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of the Bhagavad Gita. I wish they would teach that Bhakti Shastra. According to the Shastras, Bhakcha Bhagavatam Grayam Na Budhya Na Chatikya. One should understand the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing them from a real devotee. One cannot understand them simply by erudite scholarship or sharp intelligence. In the Gita Mahatmya, it is also said, Gita dita chat yena pivakti bhavena chetasa Veda shastra puranani tenadi tani sarvashaha. To one who reads the Bhagavad Gita with faith and devotion, the essence of Vedic knowledge is revealed. And according to the Shvetasvatara Upanishad 6.23, which we just read the previous purport, Yasha Devi Paravati Rita Devi Tata Guru Tashaite Katita Yarta Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. All Vedic literatures are to be understood with faith and devotion, not by mundane scholarship. We have therefore presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. There are many so-called scholars and philosophers who read the Bhagavad Gita. Hold a second. Let me get that. Let me get it. Hare Krishna, Jay.
Maharaj, I checked everything. From Ormond Beach, there is a town called Pataka, has rooms, but it's like 40 miles west of the beach. So it's a little further driving. So I think if we can get something for 99, it's still a good deal.
I'll do the thing for 99 then, near the beach.
Right. And Don just called me. Dhirubhai just called me.
Yeah.
And he told me that he's going to send $30,000 checks. So all the renovation can be completed.
Okay, sorry for that interruption. You know, we have to do our business at the same time. So, let's continue. We have therefore presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. There are many so-called scholars and philosophers who read the Bhagavad Gita scholarly way. They simply waste their time and mislead those who read their commentaries. So, on that happy note, get my mind back into Bhagavad Gita. So anyway, so the point is, to know the Bhagavad Gita, one actually has to have faith in the spiritual master and Krishna. So, etabali se vipre kaila alingana prabhupada dari vipra karena rodana. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the Brahman and catching the lotus feet of the Lord, began to cry. Toma deki tahaite dviguna sukahaiha se Krishna tumi hena mora mane laiha. The Brahmana said, upon seeing you, my happiness is doubled. I take it that you are the same Lord Krishna. Of course, that's Lord Chaitanya. Krishna spurche tanramana anache nirmala ataiva prabhura tatva janila sakala. The mind of the Brahmana was purified by the revelation of Lord Krishna, and therefore he could understand the truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all details. Tabe Mahaprabhu tanre karaila sikshana Ebat kahana kariha prakashana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then taught the Brahmana very thoroughly and requested him not to disclose the fact that he was Lord Krishna himself. Wow. Sevi pramaha prabhura bhadavakta haila Charimasa Prabhu Sangha Kabuna Chadila. That Brahmana became a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for 4 continuous months he did not give up the Lord's company. E matabata grihe rahe gurachandra nirantarabata sange krishna kathananda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Venkatabhata and constantly talked with him about Lord Krishna. In this way, he was very, very happy. So, Sri Vaishnavabhata seve Lakshmi Narayana Tanravakti Deki Prabhura Tushtahe Lamana. Being a Vaishnava in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Venkatabhata worshipped the deities of Lakshmi and Narayana. Seeing his pure devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Nirantara Tanra Sangehaila Sakya Bhava Hasya Parihase Dunhe Sakyera Swabhava. Constantly associating with each other, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatabhata gradually developed a friendly relationship indeed. Sometimes they laughed and joked together. A few more verses. Prabhu Kahe Bata Tamara Lakshmi Takurani Kandavakshastita Pativrata Shiromani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Bhattacharya, "Your worshipful goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayana, and she is certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. Amara Takura Krishna Gopa Gok Chakraka Sadvihana Kenik Chahe Tanhara Sangama." However, my lord is Lord Sri Krishna, a coward boy who is engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord? This is very interesting. E lagi sukaboga chari chira kala vratanima kari tapa karila apara. Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha and for a long time accepted vows and regulated principles and performed unlimited austerities. Kashanu bhavosya nadeva vidmahe tavangri renu sparshadikara yan yad vanchaya shrir lala lala nacharatapo vihaya kamansu chiram drita vrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "O Lord, we do not know," this is a vote from the Bhagavatam, "how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. Even the goddess of fortune has for this end performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity." So this verse was from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:16:36, and it was spoken by the wives of the Kaliya serpent. In other words, or let me reiterate what we just heard, is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This states that the Kaliya serpent, who was acting quite demoniacally in the beginning, got the opportunity to have the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. However, the goddess of fortune, and that's Lakshmi, in case you don't know who that is, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for many centuries, and she still didn't have that opulence. And so this is a really interesting question being asked by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the reason, he knows the answer to the question, obviously, but he's challenging Venkatabhata, who is worshipping Lakshmi. Now, who is Lakshmi? Okay, let's talk about Lakshmi's ontological position. Lakshmi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. But as the expansion of Srimati Radharani, she worships Krishna in a mood of awe and worships Krishna in a mood of awe and reverence. Actually, worships Lord Vishnu in a mood of awe and reverence. She never talks back to the Lord like a good chaste wife. So, for example, once upon a time, Narada Muni, this is a story from the Chaitanya Mangal, once upon a time, Narada Muni wanted to get some Mahaprasadam, and he was thinking, I have to have a plan to get that Mahaprasadam. And what's the best plan? Please, Lakshmi. So he served Lakshmi for so many years. And at the end, Lakshmi said, what do you want? We all want the blessings of Lakshmi, obviously. So Narada Muni said, I want Mahaprasadam. And Lakshmi said, oh, there's a problem. The Lord told me not to give Mahaprasadam to anyone. Mahaprasadam means the prasadam remnants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being a chaste wife, she would not disobey the order of her spiritual master. Oh, sorry. Not spiritual master. Husband. So, she didn't just want to disobey. So one day, she went before Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu noticed that she was a little bit nervous. And he said, what's the problem, Priya? And she said, I promise Narada Muni I would give him whatever he wanted Mahaprasadam, and you told me not to give any Mahaprasadam. What should I do? And Lord Vishnu said, in a very interesting way, give him Mahaprasadam when I'm not looking. So it appears like you're following my directions, but actually you are, but you're sneaking the Mahaprasadam. This way he'll appreciate it more. So she gave Narada Muni the Mahaprasadam, and Narada Muni, of course, the story goes, started dancing in ecstasy, ate it all except for the little bit that remained under his fingertips. Nails. And Lord Shiva asked him, why are you dancing like this? And then what happened is Narada Muni said, I got Mahaprasadam. Lord Shiva said, did you save anything for me? I'm your brother. And Narada Muni said, no. And then he looked under his fingertips and he saw some Mahaprasadam. He gave to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva started dancing. And as he was dancing, the whole universe almost got destroyed. So Parvati stopped him, said, why are you dancing? And he said, I got Mahaprasadam. And she said, did you save any for me? And he said, no, you're Maya. And he said, no, you don't get any. And she got so upset, she began to perform austerities for getting Mahaprasadam. And she performed austerities to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu appeared before and said, you are my dear devotee, what do you want? And she said, I not only want Mahaprasadam, but I want to give Mahaprasadam out to everybody. And that's why we get a chance to eat Mahaprasadam. So that's a very interesting story. We're going to end here because there's a lot of philosophical stuff that we're going to read about in the next day or two. So we will give all you Vaishnavas maybe one or two questions because you want to get back on the road again. And let me stop sharing, unmute, and let's see, allow you to ask questions. Hold on a second. I'm getting some messages. Okay, who has a question? Oh, there's a question Mother Tulsi asked. So everyone was eating boga before? No. It's a funny question. So the point is, prasadam directly, Mahaprasadam, directly from the plate where Lord Vishnu ate from. Not just the deity, but, I mean, I can't say just the deity because the deity is not different than Lord Vishnu. But let's say Lord Vishnu ate from a plate and you want the prasadam right from his plate. No, people were eating prasadam before. But not that direct from plate prasadam. So that's the difference. Okay, Kair, you have a question. Oh, here's another question. My dear Gurudev, please, I have a question. How can one develop faith toward Lord Krishna and the spiritual master? That's an interesting question. So, faith develops by association. Not simply by hearing, but by association. Of course, more chanting. The more chant and follow Krishna consciousness, you get realization, pratyaksha bhagavan dharmyam, shushtukam kartamavyam, is one point. but also by associating with great devotees, particularly a spiritual master, and you see the wonderful qualities they have, and it actually inspires you. You know, when you see a great saint, like when I saw Prabhupada, my faith was there immediatamente. That's immediately, for those of you who don't speak Hindi. So, no, it's not Hindi. I know it's Spanish. But my faith was there immediately, because I could see, by seeing and associating with the pure devotee. Just like if you see a 10,000-watt laser beam, your faith is that it's pretty hot. So in the same way, when you see a pure devotee, and how, what can I say about the experience? That's direct perception. Then one's faith increases. Also by seeing your own advancement in devotional service. I often give the example, how can you understand a child is growing? A child is growing because you measure his height. And so what is the sort of spiritual height we're talking about? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajyojita Janayati Asubhai Ragyam Yanam Chayad Haitakam. That one gets detached from this world. That's a symptom of advancement. And what is it? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajyojita Janayati Asubhai Ragyam Vairagyam. You get detached. Then you get causeless knowledge. You get knowledge. Krishna reveals everything. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Right? Bhajatam pratipurvaka. It's all explained in the nutshell verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti. I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. And Krishna does that. I've seen Krishna gives the intelligence. By the mercy of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, a lame man can walk, a dog can swim in ocean, or a blind man can see, or a foolish malecha can actually speak about Krishna consciousness. I've seen it. It happens. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. So all those experiences, association, direct perception, etc., help you become more and more faithful. The faith increases with time. It's not that automatically one has all the faith immediately. But I've seen that by my association with Prabhupada, and I have full faith in Prabhupada. And of course I had that immediately when I met Prabhupada. I don't know why that was. Immediately full faith in Prabhupada. That was past life. Somehow or other, Prabhupada came and he said, "You rascal, you got to come back. What will you do? What are you doing in this mature world? Why didn't you become perfect in your last life? And now it's time, rascal." Okay. So, I think Kayur has a question. What's your question, Kayur?
My humble obeisance is to Guru Maharaj and all the Vaishnavas. So, Maharaj, Hari Bol. My question is regarding the Srimad Bhagavatam. Can I ask?
Yes, ask a question.
Okay. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in a different chapters or different cantos, we see that at some places, like they talk about, meditating on the limbs of Vishnu, that we should meditate on Vishnu.
Right.
And in some places, it's like worshipping Krishna. And we know that from the Bhagavatam, that Vishnu emanated from Krishna, right? Vasudeva, Sankarsana, then Mahavishnu.
Well, Vishnu is an expansion. Yes, Lord Vishnu is an expansion, yeah.
Correct. So, as a devotee, or as a whom we should worship in your day-to-day life?
Well, the reason there's some emphasis on Lord Vishnu is that so we can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and understand about the tattva, the Vishnu tattva, how Krishna expands various expansions, and some of his expansions deal with the material world, to understand the nature of the Supreme Person, to understand the nature of Krishna, and to help us develop a sense of awe and reverence in the beginning. When one becomes completely perfect and goes back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan, then there's no more awe and reverence. But for us who need the awe and reverence, who need to have the mood of awe and reverence in relationship to Krishna, especially in relationship to Guru, then the aspect of Krishna, or the expansion of Krishna, known as Lord Vishnu, is absolutely necessary to understand, because it helps us develop that sense of awe and reverence. That is the reason why that it's there. Because if we immediately jump up to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, let's say the 10th canto immediately we read without reading the other cantos, we'll take things cheaply. We won't understand the nature. We won't understand the philosophy, the Siddhanta, the conclusions, the perfect conclusions of philosophy. And therefore, we won't be stable or steady, and we will think what is material. We will see things as spiritual, and spiritual things we will see as mundane. So that's why it's important. Bhagavatam is arranged so that one starts at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God at the first canto of the Bhagavatam, and gradually works one's way up. And this is, of course, metaphorical to the smiling face of the Lord, which is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a methodological approach to gradually having the right attitude towards Krishna and gradually coming to the proper platform of pure devotional service. The Bhagavatam is the perfect medicine to help us gradually advance. That's why all the aspects of the Bhagavatam are important. I'm not advising that one meditate on the universal form or meditate on the limbs of Vishnu if they are more advanced in devotional service. So it's a progressive path. Bhagavatam presents us a progressive path. Okay, I'm going to end right now because we better get back on the road so we have a place to stay tonight. Otherwise, we're all going to be camping out on the beach and swimming in the ocean for the morning shower, which is all right. I wouldn't mind that, but the two devotees I have with me, Mayapur and Champaka, they're not that austere. So what can we do? So we have to cater to disciples who need a higher standard. So anyway, so we're going to end class, and we'll see everyone tomorrow evening. We'll try to be either on the road in a stable place. We should be, because we're going to be on the interstate tomorrow, and it won't be rush hour traffic, hopefully. Okay, thank you very much for joining us. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Ki.